Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
I am excited to be here this morning. I am excited to unpack, we're going to unpack Psalm 5 together today. So I hope you're ready. The hardest part about preparing to speak this morning was choosing a psalm, because there's so many options. It took me a little while to pick one. I should have chosen Psalm 119, but I thought you might want to get home for lunch at some point. If you don't know, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, so we would have been here for a while. So I'm just going to start with... let's just start with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalm 5 and just the way that you've spoken to me through this psalm. I pray that this morning your words would be clear, and we are excited to hear from you, our Heavenly Father, this morning. Amen. So some background on this psalm. So David, as a young boy, was chosen by the Lord many years before this psalm is written to be the king of Israel. Emmanuel, who's not here today, spoke last week about David as a young shepherd boy. So at the time of David writing this psalm, he was in the midst of being pursued by his son Absalom. So Absalom was described as the third and favorite son of David at some point. Probably not when David wrote this psalm. He probably wasn't the favorite anymore. But Absalom got impatient and he wanted to become king. And so he drove his father out of Jerusalem and tried to take the throne. David's emotionally torn between preserving his throne and preserving the life of his rebellious son. This psalm was composed by David. He was in the wilderness. He's hiding from his son's armies, from his enemies. And his son rebelled against him by rallying all of his enemies together to try to hunt him down. This psalm was written in a time of distress. It's interesting that David specifically points out that it was to be played accompanied by flutes. Do we have any flute players? Caitlin, did you bring your flute? No? So this psalm was written to be accompanied by flutes. David's hiding, he's struggling in the wilderness, and we read in this psalm his very scattered prayer to the Lord. And so let's read Psalm 5 together. I am reading, it's going to be up on the screen, I'm reading Psalm 5 in the English Standard Version, but please feel free to follow along on whatever version that you prefer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. So there is a lot to unpack in that psalm. David, again, like I said, he's in a time of crisis. He's hiding from his son and his enemies, and he cries out to the Lord. You can see as we read, it was very scattered. It gets a little bit dark there in the middle. We'll talk about that in a minute. So he starts out, "Oh Lord, please listen to me." And he moves to, "Please destroy them." And then he moves to, "I'm good. I'm righteous in your eyes. Let us rejoice." I think it's pretty relatable to feel overwhelmed when you're in the midst of something, you're going through a crisis, and we wonder where God is in it. The more I read this psalm, the more it came across as quite panicked. David's really going through something, and he's crying out to the Lord. As a man in distress, a man on the run, it feels a little bit dramatic, but I feel the same sometimes when I'm going through something. If I'm trying to make a decision or I'm feeling hurt by someone else or by a situation, I feel usually at the beginning quite scattered in how to deal with it, right? And you're led by your emotions. You kind of have to let your heart figure out, how does it feel about this situation before you can make a decision about how to move forward. So this is a very intimate prayer. We see in verse 2, David says, "My King and my God." So, as I had mentioned, David was chosen by the Lord to be the king of Israel. He uses the word king here to put his own kingship into place. He is saying, "I know I'm the king of Israel, but you are the true king." He accepts that he's a man under the authority of God, not one who can rescue himself from his situation by his own means. He's acknowledging his helplessness. Another thing to note is that as the king of Israel, David would also be the judge. So any situations that would come up, any cases that needed to be tried, they would be brought before David for his judgment. So David recognizes in this prayer by saying, "My king and my God," that God is the true king, God is the true judge. And as he walks through his thoughts with this prayer, he's bringing his case before the Lord. On another very practical note, when he says, "In the morning you hear my voice," usually the cases would be brought before the king in the morning to be dealt with. And so he's acknowledging God is the judge. God's going to deal with this situation in the way that he feels best. The underlying theme that we see here is honesty. David is brutally honest with the Lord in this prayer. God deeply loves our honesty, and David felt that. David was very honest with God as he prayed. So there are three things that David asks of the Lord in Psalm 5, and that's what I want to walk through today. The first point is, "Hear as I pray." David pleads with God to hear his prayer. David longed for an audience with God, and he said this three times in three different ways. So often in the Old Testament, there's a lot of parallelism in Hebrew poetry, and David practiced that in this psalm. He said the same thing three different times. In the first couple of verses, he says, "Give ear to my words, consider my groaning, give attention to the sound of my cry." He said, "In the morning, you hear my voice." He knew that God could hear him, and he was begging God to listen to him in a very intimate and very honest way. David knew that God could handle his innermost thoughts, his frustration, and then the anger that we see later on in the psalm. Later on in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 139, verse 1, David writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." God already knew how David was thinking and feeling, being lost in the wilderness, being pursued by his son and his armies. He already knew David's heart, but he wanted him to share that anger and frustration with him so that David wasn't trying to carry it for himself. Many of you know that probably about 5 or 6 years ago now, my mom was diagnosed with early onset dementia. She passed away mid-2021 when Juliet was just a few weeks old. I remember very early on as we walked through that journey with my mom, I struggled so much with seeing what she was dealing with, what she was going through, and just seeking the Lord for guidance in how do I make the best decisions for her care, as well as just emotionally dealing with watching someone that you love slip away in front of you. Some of you have gone through this, and you would understand what that really feels like to see that from a loved one. I remember we were probably maybe 6 months in, and my mom was just really not doing well, and I was leaving our house, to come to a church board meeting. And it had just been a bad day. Like, I was struggling. I didn't want to have to go out. I didn't want to have to see anyone. And I fell to my knees, like, literally, as I was getting into my car in the driveway. And I said, God, how could you let this happen? How could you let this happen? Like, I was so angry. And I felt like God didn't see it. He didn't care. He hadn't gotten around to dealing with it. It couldn't have been that important. In that moment, God reminded me of a few things. There were things that he had taught me before that I had forgotten. The first thing he told me was that he can handle my anger and frustration, much like he could handle David's anger and frustration. He heard me as I prayed. The second thing I was reminded of as I walked through that situation with my mom, which took a few years, was God hates this more than I do. That was not how he intended things to be for her. That wasn't how he wanted things to go in our family. But we see, as we read in Psalm 5, verses 4 to 6, David is reminded that God takes no pleasure in evil, but he destroys it. He hates evil more than we do. We struggle with what's happening in our lives. We struggle when we look around the world and we see what's happening. God hates it more than we do. That's not how he meant this, the world to be today. He loves goodness and righteousness. And as we read this next section of the psalm, I think the Lord reminded David of the same thing. David realizes God hates wickedness. He takes no pleasure in it. And the situation that David was facing, the Lord hates it. He was there with him. David's words are, evil may not dwell with you. Sometimes I approach the Lord with a request. I know I'm scum, but if you just listen to this one thing I need to ask you. David isn't saying, take care of the wicked because you enjoy punishing them. He's saying, I know you hate evil. Take care of this so it doesn't lead me or the rest of us astray. This isn't how you meant things to be. As we go on, we read about David's realization that he could approach the Lord because of the Lord's mercy for him. Not because of how good David is, but because he realizes his sinfulness in front of the judge. In the NIV, it says in verse 7, and I just like the wording of this, it says, but I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. David was well aware of his own sins, which is why he came before God in the multitude of God's mercies. David was also aware of the level of his unrighteousness, which is why he said, I will worship you in reverence and respect for your righteousness. As David grew closer to the Lord, he became more aware of God's goodness and his own sinfulness. I will come into your house. That was his words. That was his confidence. We sang about that this morning. That's our confidence. I will come into your house. It wasn't that David thought he was righteous because he had done something to earn that and that everyone else was a sinner. They were all disobeying the Lord. His confidence was the mercy of God, knowing that he was a sinner but righteous in God's eyes because of what God had done. The same is true for you and for me. The closer we grow to the Lord, the deeper our confidence that in spite of what we might do, we can approach the Lord and we can ask him to hear as we pray. This leads us to verse 8, which is David's second request of God. He says, make your way straight. His words in verse 8 are, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. David had just finished asking the Lord to hear the cry of his heart. He is now saying that the cry of his heart is to follow the plan and the purpose that the Lord had set before him. Now, in David's context, it's likely that he was asking God to take down his enemies so that David could return safely to being the king of Israel and asking God to take down Absalom, who wanted his throne. In our context, sometimes we ask the Lord, make my way straight, but what we really might mean is, give me that thing that I've been asking you for. His plan and his purpose might not look like what we desire. And we should be praying for the Lord to make clear his plan and his purpose, even if it doesn't seem like what we want for ourselves. In this section of the psalm, David is really speaking honestly about his human desires. Oh Lord, that you would fulfill my kingship. That you would destroy those who are arrogant and tell lies. He was asking the Lord to reassure him that God was in control of the situation and that he was so in control that he would not only determine the outcome, but also make it possible for David in God's strength, not in David's. I want to talk about geese for a second. Have any of you ever really watched closely when geese are flying overhead? If anyone spent any time with me and geese have flown overhead, I apologize, I've told you this already. So, Sean hates geese, he calls them cobra chickens. They are the least nice thing about Canada, I will admit that. They fly overhead in sort of like a check mark, like an off-centered V formation. They take turns leading. So sometimes the goose in the lead will get tired of leading, and they will all shift while they're flying to let someone else lead. If one goose gets tired or injured and has to land, at least two others will go with that goose. They all take turns leading, like I said, so that means they all know the way forward. They all know the direction, but they're choosing to fall in line. They let the one that's in front lead them past obstacles, trusting them so that they don't have to carry the burden of watching the path. They can just follow. David was a lot like that in this situation. If he had taken things into his own hands, it could have gone either way. He had vast resources at his disposal. We read this psalm as if, you know, he's in the wilderness and he's poor and he's lost and he has nothing. But David was the king of Israel. We obviously don't know all the details of exactly what Absalom had planned against him. But David was willing to ask the Lord to lead him in God's righteousness so that God would be glorified rather than taking it into his own hands. I think sometimes we're the same. We're fully capable of taking a situation into our own hands with reason, with our own strength. And yet we need to pause and ask the Lord to make your way straight before me. It may not be dealt with in the way that we like, but it will be dealt with in the way of God's plan and choosing. This next section is basically David's rant to the Lord. He wants the Lord to fix the situation and destroy his enemies. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. There's a whole section there where David just ranted to the Lord. He was brutally honest with him. He's being so honest about what he feels he's up against. He's asking the Lord to deal with his enemies because they don't respect God. They don't revere God. So often we get stuck in our own thoughts and feelings about what we're up against. We need to remember, like David did, that God can handle our anger and frustration. Sometimes there's no clear solution to our situation. It can be earthly enemies. It can be a situation that you're praying for that has no end in sight. Verses 9 and 10 are basically a description of what David has observed from his son Absalom and all those that are hunting him. But then, David is calmed by the Lord. It reminds me a little bit of the disciples in the boat with Jesus, freaking out about the storm, and Jesus just says, "Be still. Why are you worrying?" David's gone through this sort of panicked prayer to the Lord, you know, and he's cried out to him, and he's ranted about his enemies and asked the Lord to take down and destroy his enemies. And then by verse 11, he seems to calm down. He says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them that those who love your name may exult in you." This is David's final request of the Lord, and one he seems to believe will be granted. Spread your protection over them. His experience with God has taught him that those who love God will be protected. Caitlin talked about this a few weeks ago. Our experience with God directs how we approach him. Our experience with the Lord should be one that shows us, despite our struggles, if we stay close to the Lord, we will be guided and protected in his love. Following the Lord doesn't mean that you won't struggle. You won't be in the wilderness. You won't wonder, why did he let that happen? A crisis of faith doesn't always mean that you don't believe. Sometimes it just offers you that opportunity to dig in a little deeper and really trust the Lord and draw near to him. David had built up his walk with the Lord so much, and he was so close with him, that when he panicked, he was brought back down, not by his own reason, not by his own strength. He didn't say to himself, David, you've got this. David, your son is weak and you can take him. He said, those who love you, God, are protected. This is a reminder for us. Sometimes our situations don't go exactly how we would like them to go. On a very personal note, our family's dealt with a couple of pregnancy losses this year. It's been really hard. There's no end in sight. I can't fix that situation. I'm going to start crying. It's a situation that we're still walking through. And I've come to a place of acceptance that it will be dealt with in the way that the Lord chooses. It's not something that I can reason through. It's not something that we can fix. We have to trust the Lord and say, spread your protection over us and let us rejoice. I have to come to a place of acceptance, and I've started, I'm still walking through it, that it will be dealt with in the way that the Lord chooses. The command and instructions for us as believers is simple. Let all who take refuge in you, in the Lord, rejoice. Doesn't mean we won't face a storm, but we know for a fact that we have shelter from the storm. Some versions of the Bible use the words refuge and shield. So this word that was used in Hebrew, this shield, is like a wall between the person and their enemy, fully blocking them in, like the walls of Jericho, fully blocking the force of their threat. This kind of wall, it used to surround cities so that they wouldn't be destroyed by incoming opposing armies. David says in the NIV version, "For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Not blessing like we might think of prosperity or wealth or materials, but true blessing from the Lord of being in his favor and being protected from evil by salvation. Throughout Psalm 5, as we read, David is struggling at the beginning with feeling exiled by his own son and abandoned by his people. He's struggling in the middle of the psalm when he's asking the Lord to take down his enemies. And then he's still struggling at the end. He's still in the wilderness, and he acknowledges that he still has a storm to face. He ends the psalm with the same problems that he started with. He's still on the run from his son and from his enemies. But he ends the psalm with the confidence and the reassurance that God is in control. The same is true for us. We may know that our circumstances may not be drastically changed. There might be nothing to the earthly eye that seems any different about our situation. But we are protected by the love of God. He knows our hearts. He knows our anger and our frustration. And he wants our honesty with him. He wants to remind us and reassure us that all who love him will be protected with his love like a shield. As we wrap up today, I want to ask you maybe just to reflect for a minute. In your current circumstances, whether you're content with all areas of your life, maybe you're walking through something, you're struggling with a situation, or it's maybe something that you're struggling with that you thought, I'm not going to bother bringing that before the Lord, it's too small. I want to ask you to think about how you can bring these requests to the Lord. Hear as I pray, make your path straight. Spread your protection over me. So I'm going to ask Caitlin, worship team, maybe just Caitlin, just to play another worship song for us. And as we sing, just think about that as you're worshiping the Lord this morning. Ask him, "Hear as I pray, make your path straight, spread your protection over me."
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.